Hello and welcome to series two of the My Little Coco podcast. I am so happy to be back. I have an amazing lineup of guests for this series and I cannot wait for you to hear them. For those of you that are new to the show, in this podcast, I speak to my guests about their parenting journeys, what they've learned along the way and what they still need to figure out. We'll be talking about sleep, mostly the lack of it, the importance of well-being, the myths around breastfeeding and everything else in between. I'll be getting as many tips and tricks from my guests about how to find these balances because let's face it, they're not little for long. Right, let's start the show. Well, I am very happy to be joined by my guest today. I would describe her as a bit of a fashion and beauty icon, rising to fame through five series on Made in Chelsea, where she met her now husband, Hugo. They're now parents to the gorgeous Sienna and Aurelia. She has her own podcast called Mum Lemma and More, where she and her co-host chat about life, love and their little ones. Here is Millie McIntosh on the My Little Coco podcast. So thanks for joining me.
Thanks for asking me.
No, this is, but I'm always up for a good old parent chat. There's actually nothing better.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I feel like we've DM'd quite a lot about yes, various things. Yeah.
Like me too.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been like really excited to just come in and have this like in-person.
It's nice to do it in the flesh. So let's talk a little bit before we get into, because today we're going to focus and really unpack C-sections / cesareans, whatever you want to call them. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. But let's talk about you and parenthood and you and Hugo. Talk to us about your journey. When you met, obviously, you were young.
Yeah, we met when I was actually 16.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So we met in a nightclub when I was 16, snogged. Then we didn't end up dating. And then when I was about 21, I was like, no, we're just going to be friends. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up being in a relationship for a couple of months when we were both all Made in Chelsea. Didn't end well. And then we didn't speak for about 4 years.
Wow.
I married someone else. Then when...
That'll show him.
I mean, long game.
I love it. That's tactical, Millie. That's tactical.
I mean... Yeah, it worked. So we ended up getting back together when that ended. And yeah, we've been married for nearly 5 years and we've got two kids.
Do you know what's crazy? I was reading something the other day. There's this new show at the minute that I'm desperate to watch. I think it's called The One That Got Away or something like that on one of the streaming services. And the trailer really hooked me because it was saying that they say that you meet your one by the age of 21.
Really?
Yeah, or it's most common to. But wow, but you're not sure in what capacity. It could be someone that you might have passed on the train every day, or you could have been in a relationship. But they say that by that age, you meet the one that... And that was true of me and Marv. We met when I was 15, I think, in like a friendship capacity. And then a little bit later on, I was with someone. He was with someone and then found ourselves together all those years later. It's weird, isn't it?
It's weird. It's like we've known each other for nearly half my life.
Yeah. In different ways.
In different ways. But it's so nice because we went into our marriage and like having our kids with that kind of friendship level there. And we've just known each other for so long.
Yeah.
But I think it's really nice to have that to fall back on because it's really hard when you have kids.
Oh, my goodness me.
It's the most testing thing.
I mean, we'll get into that. What point were you at where you sort of spoke about having children?
After we got married.
Right. Instantly.
I think we must have had a bit of chat about it when we got engaged. Mm-hmm. I think in his ideal world, we would have waited like 10 years before we started. He was just like, he knew we'd have children, but he will, you know, in my mind, it was like a
it
plan.
It was quite soon.
It was like, I want to get married, have a year, and then start trying. Mm-hmm. And we did. And I was like, it was going to take me like years to get pregnant, probably at least a year, first time.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I feel so lucky. But he was like, it was like a real shock to him because and we've had lots of friends, like it's taken them a while to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. I think we both just didn't think it would happen straight away for us.
Well, I think that's how sort of a lot of people think. When I have conversations with my friends and girlfriends and guy friends, you either think, oh, you know, I'll get pregnant super quick and we'll have a baby this year. And then that's not how it looks. Or you think, well, let's try for the next 5 years. And then literally
you miss one period and there you go. Yeah. And that's a baby. I think in those moments you feel so blessed that's yeah. how it looks for you, right?
Totally, especially when you see other people go through mm-hmm. it being so difficult. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we had our daughters really close together. That wasn't so planned. So we had Sienna, and when she was 8 months old, I got pregnant with Aurelia. Mm-hmm.
How do you think parenthood has changed your relationship?
I mean, I think it really has like deepened our love mm-hmm. and it's definitely tested us.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely made me realise that you do have to put the work in to yeah. spend that time together. Mm. And it doesn't just happen. You have to carve it out. You have to kind of be strict dedicate. Mm-hmm. Even though you might think, oh, it'd be nice to spend like this weekend with the kids. It's just so important to have that couple time.
Yeah.
So we really try and, you know, have that kind of weekend a month or whatever it is where we just actually maybe have like a night away. It's, you know, a weekly date night is lovely, but I think it's really important to try and spend a little bit more time together than yeah. just like a dinner.
Yeah, yeah, you're so right. And it can be like, I feel lucky now that two of ours are in school. So I think sometimes if I've got a day off or I try and make myself have a day off yeah. and say, right, we're going to go for lunch. We're going to drop them to school in the morning. And my mum said she'll pick them up for us and we're going to spend the day having lunch.
Yeah,
and
exactly. It's like spending a whole day together.
Yeah, it's really, and you reconnect in a way, not that there was a massive disconnect, but it kind of puts everything back into a nice place yeah. again before you are back into the sort of monotonous daily routine of...
It can feel a bit like Groundhog Day, for sure.
It really can. What is he like as a dad?
He's very loving. He's amazing. He really is just... I'm really great at like being with the kids and doing stuff with the kids and I love that. And he is just really good at like kind of cleaning up all the mess that we make. Mm-hmm. I'll like make the food and feed them and then he'll like do the clear up. I think it's really about finding that balance of like teamwork and like who prefers doing what yeah. and where that like balance is.
And what your role is.
What your role is. I'm trying to think who's the more authoritative one. Probably him slightly. It's also been finding that balance of like how we want to parent together.
Yes.
And we have maybe slightly different parenting techniques. Mm-hmm. And styles, which I think is okay because I think each child's going to have their own individual like relationship with you yeah. and the way that you are with them.
Yeah.
But then we need to meet and be on the same page on like important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's always, and for me, as they've got older, it's not, you know, sometimes I'm like, why would you tell Alaya that she can do this or she can't yeah. do this?
Sometimes it drives me mad.
And I'm like so furious about it.
Like signalling at him, like, stop yeah. saying that's wrong.
But you have to have each other's yeah. back in front of
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, I can't say to him, like, in front of Sienna, who's so sassy. Being
yeah.
And I can't do it, but you have to kind of really, I try and, like, maybe touch him on the arm, you know, really give him a look.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. Yes. And then, like, we'll have a word about it afterwards. But I'll be like, oh, I've been trying to do this thing yeah. with her and you're, like...
You're completely cancelled it out in, yes. a, in one sentence.
So we have... Yeah, we're trying to be more on the same
page. Yeah, but you're so... That's the thing. And I think that's one thing that we always made the pact on. Like, we parent together and we are a unit on this. But when you disagree with their choices and you have to be together, it's really frustrating. Yeah. Let's go back to when Sienna was born.
Yes.
Now, she suffered with something. I'm going to get this right. It's called hip dysplasia.
Yes, she had hip dysplasia.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that and what that means and how that looks.
So Sienna was breech. So that means a baby's the wrong way up, essentially, mm-hmm. for if you want to have a vaginal birth.
Yes. Alaya was breech.
Then it's pretty, like, unadvisable with a breech baby. I think maybe it slightly depends on the hospital, but mm-hmm. a lot of hospitals, they just won't deliver a breech baby. Mm-hmm. And Sienna was just firmly wedged in that position from about 28 weeks onwards. She just didn't want to move. So I was pretty chilled about it. I actually already wanted to have an elective C-section. So mm-hmm. it actually was kind of like that was what I was destined to have because that was the safest way for her yeah. to be born. But breech babies are more likely to have hip dysplasia because of their position in the womb.
Oh, okay.
And the position their legs are held in. It can basically cause the hip joint to not properly form.
Right.
On one or both hips. So if your baby is breech, they're given an NHS like scan in the UK at 6 weeks mm-hmm. just to check. They check them at birth, but they can't really tell that much. They don't yeah. scan them. They just like have a feel. And then at 6 weeks, she had a scan. Also, if it's a girl, but girls are more likely to have it than boys.
I didn't know any of this.
So I didn't either. Yeah. So when I went for the 6 week scan, they were like, oh, it looks fine. We're not 100% sure. We need to check again in another 6 weeks, but they thought it would be fine. So I just went in just thinking, okay, just got to get the scan done just to make sure, but it will be fine.
It's like a box tick, isn't it? Yeah, you go for your checkup and you don't
totally
think anything
a box
of
tick.
It.
Yeah. And we'd got back from a lovely family holiday the day before. So it was just a real shock to be like, okay, now you need to go and see the pediatric physio. And they were so lovely, bless them. But I went in and they, you know, strapped her up into this harness and was like, she's got to wear this now for...
Oh
my God. 6 to 12 weeks.
Wow.
And she was just crying. And I was still breastfeeding. And they were like, gave me the baby to try and calm her down and feed her. And I like couldn't, my little cuddly, squishy baby was in this uncomfortable harness. And I couldn't even hold her properly.
Yeah.
And it was, and she just literally screamed for like a few days till she got used to it. And it was like just so hard, the hardest thing I'd been through at that point.
And still hormonal, still feeding.
Still feeding. Still... She also had reflux. The harness made her reflux way worse because it was holding her legs in just one set position.
Oh, yeah, of course. She can't move properly.
So then I ended up stopping breastfeeding while she was in the harness. The whole thing was just quite difficult. But it's called a Pavlik harness. It was amazing because it completely sorted out her hip dysplasia.
Oh, wow.
And one thing I found really helped, because I didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. So I posted it on social media after a couple of days. I said, this is what's happened. And I just had so many messages from people saying, oh, don't worry, my daughter had this too, or my child had this too. And, you know, the harness completely works. Because for the first few days, I wanted to just take it off, refuse to do the treatment, find some alternative treatment, go to get another opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, we stuck with it and it does work. So I'm glad we did.
Right, so let's get into the world of cesareans and C-sections, which I feel like we're very capable, we're capable hosts on this because I've had three and you've had two.
Yeah.
And it's a very funny world. And I remember the same with you. So Alea was breech.
She was your first.
She was my first.
Okay.
And I had this whole thing, Millie, where I had decided I was Earth Mum. So I was going, I was like...
So opposite of me, whereas I was going into it like out the sunroof.
Yeah. I kind of really felt, I think I felt the judgment. I felt it made me a better person or a better human or a better mum. I don't know
what it was. A lot of people feel like that.
Yeah. And I'm actually really, I'm disappointed in myself for feeling like that actually, because at the time I felt like, you know, it made me, well, I can handle this. And I don't know if it sort of came from, you know, my mum and perhaps my aunt and friends around who love me and adore me and don't mean judgment at all. But it was like a thing of, oh, you know, well, in my day, you had to just, you were in the hospital for maybe 24 hours, if you know, and you might have pushed for this. And it was kind of like a bit of a badge of honour almost.
Yeah.
So I remember, so my thing was the whole time I was going to breathe and it was all going to be about breath work and I didn't want any pain relief. And I remember Marv being like, because the thought of it really frightened him. And I think in his ideal, I would have had a cesarean.
Yeah, because it's very controlled.
It's a controlled environment.
It's very safe.
Right. So I was really sort of, no, I really would like.
And how long before the birth did you know you needed to have the C-section?
So it was literally a matter of days. So I...
So you didn't have very long to mentally prepare, whereas I kind of had been mentally preparing since the moment I got pregnant. I knew that's what I wanted.
Yeah. Well, I sort of thought the idea, and she was literally tap dancing on my bladder until the end, like fully breech. And then I had what they call an aversion. So they tried to turn her.
Okay, I didn't do that.
Which,
because I've heard that it's just so painful.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. They were. I remember laid there and they were literally hands from every angle.
Yeah, because normally, like with your bum, you don't ever really touch it very hard. You know,
no,
you just feel
ever.
Gently.
You literally rub a bit of oil in and that's
gentle rub.
Little tiny massage.
And someone suddenly like, that must be quite scary for you as well.
Like, I want to say like 4-6 set of hands. I just remember laying there and Marvin was in the corner of the room And I think his face made it worse. Like, obviously, he didn't mean it. But you know when someone's looking at you as if to say, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I remember being in pain and looking up and thinking,
ah. Are they monitoring the baby while they do it?
Yes, yes.
Like, their heart rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, great success. She turned, right? So I was left buzzing. I'm like, okay.
Okay, it's worked.
It was
have
brutal.
The birth plan I wanted.
Yeah. Get home that night.
She moved.
How? And this is so her personality as well, when you know her now. About 4 a.m, it was like, you're used to your belly moving at that point.
Yeah.
I remember tapping Marv and it was like a really painful one. And he filmed it because it was like an alien had taken over my tummy. And I was like, I think she's moved back. And I called my doctor as soon as like it was not 4 a.m, appropriate time to call him. And I was like, I'm pretty sure she's thought absolutely not.
Because they get so comfortable in that position.
And she had, lo and behold, turned back. And then that's when they were like, it's looking like this. So we can, you know, it's up to you ultimately. You can wait and go into labour, but we'd advise this. And then from that moment, Marv was like, I think it worried him.
Yeah.
And stupidly, I YouTubed a cesarean. And then
I did as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Everyone thinks I'm nuts for doing that.
I'm so glad I did.
Are you?
Yeah.
Obviously, it terrified me.
I watched one of a gentle C-section.
Okay.
Or was it called? I think it was called a gentle one. Basically, it's when you have a planned one, when it's not an emergency.
Right.
You can ask to have it done in a more kind of at a slower pace where they're like talking to you and telling you what's going on.
Yeah.
And you can play music. And because it's not an emergency, basically, that's not like a rush, they're getting the baby out quickly and they can make it like a peaceful, calm, nice environment, which is what I did.
Yeah.
So I watched a video of one of these and actually it was amazing. It was like the sack came out first and then the baby came into the sack. And it
oh
was
my goodness,
like,
I've seen a little
and it was incredible. And I was like, wow. And then I actually was like, okay, the first bit was a bit gory. And I was like, but I knew I wouldn't be able to see that.
Yeah.
And I was just, because I obviously watched a good one.
You did.
I was like,
I know what,
the
I watched
body's
a
amazing. This is incredible. You watched
it.
If you watch a bad one, like then
a
it's going to
crime scene.
Yeah, then you don't want to see that.
And then, so I was just so scared. Anyway, had the cesarean, but I think I was just so, now I know that it was anxiety, but at the time I just thought I was like, I thought I was
going to
die.
I did hypnobirthing to prepare myself because I get anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to go in and feel anxious on the day of the birth. I wanted to enjoy it. So I did hypnobirthing to prepare for, you can do hypnobirthing to prepare you to like breathe and have
That's
a
amazing.
Vaginal birth. But you can also do, and I really recommend it, hypnobirthing to help you prepare for the C-section or abdominal birth. It's kind of like another way to describe a C-section, which I quite like.
I do.
And it can help you mentally prepare for it. And I listen to an audio, like a kind of a meditation every night for like 4 weeks before that like prepared my mind for it. And actually on the day, I just walked in like completely calm and like ready to have the baby. So
that's so special. I think if I would have known that existed, I would have definitely.
People think it's, I think there's definitely the stigma where people think having a C-section is the easy way out.
Yes.
You're having abdominal surgery like while you're awake.
Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't a baby being removed, everyone would be like, goodness me, because, you know, you've gone through five layers of your stomach.
Yeah.
This is like a really full-on situation. You must, you know, but it's almost like that, oh, you're too posh to push scenario. And I really hate that.
Me too.
I think, you know, what I like now is that we use the term vaginal birth.
Me too.
Because that, you know, it's that whole, oh, did you not do it naturally then?
I want a natural birth. Mm. I'm going to have a natural birth. It's like, it's not an unnatural way to give birth. It's just a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
that.
Still birthing
and
a baby.
Guess what? For me, that was very natural. That was it for me.
Yeah.
So I think the first time for me, it was kind of like, this is what you're having. And it was put on me. And it wasn't something that I'd really
enjoy it?
Thought about. No, I didn't. I was frightened. I'd never had an operation.
They give you any of the good drugs?
They gave me, he was like, I did a really amazing anaesthetist that was like, how are you? And he knew how I was because everybody knew I was literally pacing. I was frantic.
Yeah.
I've never felt nerves like it in my entire life. And he just said to me, okay, do you want me to give you what I'm going to call a double G&T? I was like, can you make it a triple? And then just,
you sound amazing.
And then instantly.
Yeah, once you're on the table, they can give it to you, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'd gone down and it was that bit waiting to go down. They come and measure your bump before. It was like, I was annoyed with Marvin. He was talking to me going, are you okay? Calm down. Well, you're not having your stomach.
I found the spinal tap to numb you. Mm. I found that uncomfortable. Like, yeah. The sensation of like going numb and like suddenly not being able to feel my legs and stuff. Yeah. I found that like I got quite anxious there.
Well, that was the biggest part for me. I was like anxious anyway, just about the whole thing.
I mean, which is completely
which
normal.
Which is completely normal. But when I look back, I'm actually like, I was like having an out of body experience. And then I remember reading up stuff that you have to keep super still.
Yeah, and it's like a massive needle.
It's a massive needle.
Hugo saw it and then I saw his face. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
fuck's sake.
Exactly. Just don't look at them. Don't look at them. And I remember thinking, keep still because it could, you know.
I remember they like make you lean really forward.
It's a really weird position,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, you have to go like, and you've got your bumps. It's really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You have to like lean over your bump.
Yeah. And that they call the spinal block, right?
Spinal block. Yeah.
So I remember having that and it's a really straight, it's not like sitting upright. It's like a different position that you don't.
Remember they were like sit like in a C shape.
Yes, that's right.
I think they gave me a pillow to try and like,
yeah, so I remember having that and being like, okay, fine, that's done. But then there was this one moment where they put me on the bed and I remember seeing them move my legs to another bed. I knew
they
were my legs.
Onto the like kind of operating bed.
Onto the operating bed. But I remember watching my legs move
and you couldn't feel me.
And I couldn't feel it. And I started to panic. And it was that really, over anything, it was that that bothered me, the fact that my legs were numb.
I think at that point, both times, I was just looking at the anaesthetist and being like, now would be a good time.
Yeah. Now would be a good time for that picante. Put it in.
And then both times quite quickly being like, not scared anymore.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, this feels quite nice. And then I was just chatting to Hugo and then both times it seemed to go really quickly. Suddenly.
It's very fast.
And then there's the excitement then. You're like, okay, about to meet the baby.
Yeah. And then that instantly takes over. I think it is the preamble. What advice would you give to people that are nervous? Because like you say, sometimes this can be okay, this is an emergency, here we go. And you actually haven't got time to comprehend what happens from being in labour to being rushed down to theatre. But what I love about you and I love about this conversation is the fact that, do you know what? Some people know that's exactly what they're doing from the minute that they fall pregnant. What did you do to prepare yourself for a cesarean, apart from hypnobirthing? What did you do? What would be your tip for somebody?
Obviously, firstly, definitely the hypnobirthing. I would say just be informed. Like, I found information made me a lot less anxious because I just wanted to know every single thing I was going to do. I wanted to know every single thing that was going to go on in the theatre. I wanted to know what everyone's role was. Mm. I wanted to know just literally from the moment I went into that room, what was going to happen from the get-go until the baby arrived and even after. I just wanted to know everything.
Yeah. And do you know what? That is, you're so right. Knowledge is power in that situation. Totally. That's probably what I did wrong. And I don't know if that was probably because I was young or it was just like the most.
Probably because it was a shock to you.
Yeah.
And you didn't have that long.
I didn't want it. Yeah. Yeah. And the most I did was YouTube a gory operation.
Okay,
and that
do
was,
not do,
do
that.
Do not do that. That
do
would
your
be
research,
my
but don't scare yourself by looking.
But obviously there's little things that happen. You can't eat, right, 8 hours before. Yeah. I remember being given that tablet. Did you have that? You have to take a tablet before to sort of like, I'm not sure what it does. It removes like, the assistant.
And
from your
acid,
stomach,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I remember, I just wanted to know exactly what was going to happen. So, yeah, you can't eat that. Like, I was given a time because it was planned. So I knew my birth was between, like, 12 and 1. So mm-hmm. I said, I get really hungry, by the way, guys. I'm pregnant. I need my food. My doctor was like, right, you can have something at 6 a.m. and then nothing after that.
Right.
So I, like, I bargained. I mean, I just used to wake up so early when I was pregnant anyway.
Yeah.
So I was up at 5, had some porridge, had a nice cup of tea, and then that was like it for the morning. No fluids, no nothing. Mm-hmm. I remember actually I wasn't prepared for how I would feel after the C-section with all the drugs in my system. And when I went into the recovery room bit after my C-section, I actually both times my whole body started to itch. And
it happened to me.
Like all over, like uncontrollable, itchy.
And you can't believe it. That happened. That's coming back to me now.
I had it for about 24 hours both times.
Oh, wow.
I think it was probably worse for about the first 12 both times. But I was like, just...
And it's the anaesthetic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the anaesthetic wearing off. And then, all the other, like, various drugs you've had in the system, your system during the birth, I felt, like, really horrid while I was kind of coming out of my system.
Yeah. I relate to that. And I actually remember my legs being so itchy. And I had these kind of boots on them that were sort of pumping your legs to sort of, I suppose.
Oh, wow.
Did you have that?
No, I had the compression socks.
The compression.
On.
And they put these weird boot things. I remember the machine going, I remember actually going back to when they check if you're numb enough. And that was a big thing for me. I'm like, okay, how do you know that I'm numb though? Because I had
and
this.
You were scared, like, what if I can still feel
right.
it?
Right.
Yeah.
That was.
Seen there's a film that where.
Yes. Yes.
They
yes.
could still feel the
That's
surgery.
What came to
yes.
me. That's exactly. And I would literally be up at night thinking, oh my God, what if I'm not numb enough?
Me
what
too.
If I'm not? And I remember having this pact with Marvin, like, if I tell you I can feel even something, you have to really, like, you have to
but
speak
if that
on
happens,
my behalf.
You know, they would just put you under super quick.
Oh, would they?
They would just put you under
right.
and then deliver the baby.
I remember them doing this really weird check where they had a water gun spray.
Yeah,
did you have that?
Spray, yeah.
I remember them. It's really weird. They like tap your skin like, can you feel that? And I'm like, yes, I can feel that.
Yeah, because you can feel
that. I remember being really adamant. Yes, I can feel that. Don't touch me. And then them spraying water on me and like, can you feel that? And I'm like, no. They're like, okay, then we're ready. I'm like, I couldn't feel the water, but I could feel the tap. And I remember that not reassuring me. But actually, if you're listening to this, and you've had one before or you are about to, that is actually how they check it. And don't let that alarm you.
Yeah, you won't feel it.
You won't feel
it. If you're not, yeah, I didn't. Some people had said to me before, you might be able to feel it when the pressure of the knife, of the scalpel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I couldn't.
I think I felt pressure with Alaya and I didn't with Valley and I didn't with Blake, which is weird. With Alaya, I did. It was just almost, I remember him saying, it might feel a little bit like just before she was born, because they break your waters as well, don't they?
Yeah.
They break your waters. And just before she was born, I remember him saying, it might feel a little bit like I'm doing the washing up in your tummy.
I just remember being jostled about.
Yeah.
Like the feeling of like my body's wiggling and I'm not moving it.
Yes.
So yeah, like that, being like, why am I wobbling? Because someone's got both hands inside of me.
Exactly, having a little rummage. But
it is really weird.
It's more of a pressure than a... That I felt that with Alaya, but it's not a pain. It's just a sort of different sensation. It's basically her coming out, you know, and that's what that is. The thing that I was unaware about was after this has all happened, the baby's here, lovely. No one mentioned to me about a catheter.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what?
Did you? So yeah, the day on the both actually on the day of my first birth, I gave birth at like a lunchtime slot with both of them. I didn't get out of bed that day, so you're numb for a couple of hours. But yeah, I didn't feel. I felt quite wobbly, so I just didn't try getting out of bed till the following day. So yeah, when you suddenly come around, you've got your baby, and then you're in a hospital gown. You're basically on top of some massive kind of. Pads on the bed,
like the biggest surfboard sanitary towel.
At this point,
you haven't
even got a nappy on or anything.
No, nothing.
And there's still quite a lot of blood coming out.
That shocked me too.
The amount of blood.
Yeah.
And they come around and like change it.
Yeah, it's not painful. You can't feel it, but it's like the biggest period you've ever imagined, isn't it? Yeah.
And like quite hot, like clots.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everything has to come out, and that continues for like weeks.
That,
but it was, it's really bad those first few days.
It really is. And I remember, I just kind of remember feeling really embarrassed about that, because you have to be helped, don't you, to the bathroom to have a shower.
Yeah. The first time you get out of bed, both times, but definitely the first time, it was like, it is, it's, I've never had surgery before.
No.
And obviously you've had abdominal surgery, and just putting your feet on the floor for the first time after, it was so
being
wobbly.
So numb. Yeah.
My body didn't feel like my own.
I rested quite a bit after Alex. I remember my mum and everyone saying, don't move, don't do that. And I remember sneezing and being like, oh, like, you know, really trying to protect myself because I'd had this surgery. But actually with Valley, I had her in the the morning slot about 7 a.m.
Yeah, the early one.
And then by that evening, I was like, I wanted to walk, because I think last, on the the first time round.
Apparently it is actually better.
It's so much better.
I was the same with Aurelia. I actually, even though I'd given birth at lunchtime, sort of I made myself get out of bed that evening.
And it's amazing what that can do for you, actually. So I kind of, obviously you have to take everything at your own
pace. Yeah, and have someone help you and like be there in the room.
And only a gentle one, just literally to the bathroom to wash your hands and back or something.
I think I went round the bed and back.
Yeah, that's it. But it actually really, I kind of was like, oh, okay. And then the next day I did a tiny bit more, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole bleeding after scenario is quite, and it's not a scary thing. It is essentially a big period, but I didn't prepare myself for that either. And it's now.
Kind of just thought, everything will just come out in the when they do the C-section,
right.
And they'll just take all the blood and they'll be done. It'll be
out.
All cleaned out.
Yeah. And I remember not wanting the nurse to take me because I was embarrassed. I didn't want the midwife to take me. And I...
Well, did you get Marvin?
Literally, Marvin. And I was like, oh my gosh. Because I didn't realise. Yeah. I had the baby and I literally... Because you're still quite numb. I looked down and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's no like beautiful nighty going on.
No, it's literally that blue checkered hospital business. And I was like,
the over the knee, like...
Yeah.
Like special sock thing.
And they're not hot over the knee socks.
And then there's just a big dressing.
Mm.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember that really shocking me. So I was like, okay. But I didn't want someone I didn't know to come and help me. And
the first shower does feel really nice when you manage it.
And he was like, well, I'll lift you to the shower. And I was like, you can't lift me. You have... And he was like, Rochelle, we're married. It's fine. Like, And I remember literally him... there was like a sort of bath shower situation in the toilet, and then the toilet next to it, and it was like a handheld shower.
Did you just sit on the edge of the bath?
And I remember I sat on the toilet, like literally me being mortified, and I was sat there and he was showering me with this handheld thing, and I was just looking away like that. I was like,
oh, bless you.
I can't.
And when you look, if you catch yourself in the mirror at that point, it's quite harrowing.
Oh, there was a mirror there. I was looking away, looking at myself thinking, this is just, what is this? But I kind of was like, I want you to still fancy me at some point. Like, don't ever, you know. So it was kind of one of those really weird things. But actually, he was like,
they just don't look at you
nothing.
Like that in that moment. They're like,
you've just birthed my child. Yeah. Like, it's you're good here. But I remember being at the time mortified, and that kind of, when I think about it now, I actually cringe to myself because of how I felt.
Yeah.
But actually, it's those moments that ramp up your relationship to a different level, because you're like, this really is, you know, till death do us part in sickness and in health.
Oh, yeah.
We really, those vows, you meant them, and I appreciate
that. They've been
sitting
next to the bed where you've had, like, your bag of pee. We talk about that.
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't pee after my second birth. So the first time, I didn't get out of bed till the second morning, and it came and took out the which actually it wasn't particularly painful. They just took it out. It was really quick.
And it's just a bit ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And then they were like, right, okay, now you can go and try to pee. And that first pee, I remember waiting for so long and it just like wouldn't come out.
Yeah.
But eventually it did. And it was literally just like, rather than like a stream, it was just like a shower head that's like going everywhere. But like in all directions. I was like, why? Normally I have like a stream of wee, and it was just like that. I was like, what's happened to me? But apparently this is just like normal. But anyway, I managed to pee, so I was like, great.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, you can go home basically after you've peed. But I didn't want to go home that day. But they were like, you can't leave the hospital until we know that you can pee on your own.
Mine was pee and poo. They were like, as soon as you've peed and you've pooed, you can go.
That didn't happen till the next day.
Like, yeah,
but with Aurelia, when they took on the second day, when they took the catheter out, after like they were like, right, you've got 2 hours, and if you haven't peed, we're gonna have to put it back in.
Mm.
So I was like, kept going to the bathroom, sitting at like running the water, everything, and I just could not pee.
Yeah.
So then
it's in your head.
And
then,
I drank
too.
Loads of water. So my bladder's just filling, I'm getting really uncomfortable. So I had to put it back in. And when they put it in, the first time I was numb.
Yeah.
They put it in when they've already done the spinal block.
Yeah.
Bless them. It actually wasn't painful, but I thought it was going to be. But, you know, they kind of, I just didn't want to look. So then the second night, I could get out of bed and walk around a little bit by that point, and I just sat there. Hugo actually had gone home to be with our other daughter. and left me in the hospital. I was like, fine. I was there with the baby, had some sushi, some magazines, and my bag of pee.
Yeah, like,
so I sat at a little table.
This is glamour.
Bag of pee on the chair next to me.
It is funny, isn't it? This is me now. This is very much real. Do you know what? I kind of, when we had Alea, we did the same thing where my mum then stayed in hospital with me when we had Valentina, because I kind of didn't want her to think, Alea to think we were both staying away from her. That's a real kind strange scenario to deal with, and how you protect them from not feeling like you've just forgotten about them.
I know. And how many nights did you spend in hospital for each birth?
I think 3 days. I think 2 nights, 3 days, I think. And yeah. I remember just really, but it seems like such a long time, doesn't it, when you have this, when you're in this baby bubble. And yeah, I remember really thinking, like, trying to make it so special for Alea, and her being able to sleep in our bed with Daddy when I was gone, and like that's really sweet. And they would come and visit in the day and go back together and get a takeaway together, because I was just really worried about her feeling rejected. Yeah. Or yeah.
And was she fine?
She was actually totally fine. I'd read up so much on it about when they first meet their sibling that you shouldn't be holding them when they walk in the room.
Yeah,
they should find them in the cot by themselves.
Hugo carried her in the car seat.
Yes.
And I just walked straight in and, like, picked her up.
Yeah.
Sienna up.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was, like, coming in holding the baby.
Yeah.
So we did that on purpose. And Hugo just came in and we just put the car seat down, made a fuss of her. And then she was like, I want to see the baby.
Yeah.
And it was really cute.
That's it. And I think that was my thing, making sure that you're both sort of empty-handed. And that was what we kind of was really stressed about. And then we got her a present. We did that whole thing
where
you get them
a
present from from the baby. So she loved her instantly.
Did you watch any of yours be born? Like, did you drop the curtain?
No. Marvin has a little peek. That's sort of our thing. There's a screen there and they lower it to, you know, they lower it a good amount. But I'm like, I remember once I caught a little glimpse and I was like, oh no, bit higher, please.
Because you can opt to have the screen up completely.
Yeah.
Which I did for the first birth. And then for the second one, I was like, no, I want to drop the screen once she's coming out.
Yeah, what I did at that point.
Yeah.
You can't actually...
No. Well, yeah, when I say drop the screen to watch the birth, I mean, like, as in, like, once they're ready. Not from the start.
No.
I don't think anyone...
That's not advisable.
I don't think anyone opts to.
Yeah, it's not wise.
No.
But yeah, at that moment, every time they're born, yeah, they lower the screen, which I love. And Marvin's actually filmed
all three. I've got a video of the second, of Aurelia.
Oh.
Hugo didn't want to watch, so he'd turned away.
Oh, that's interesting.
My midwife filmed it, and Hugo doesn't even want to watch the video or anything.
No way.
Yeah, still.
That's crazy. And why does he say?
I don't know. He's like, I just don't want to see, like, cut open. Yeah. And
I remember Marvin actually saying, you know, when they go off and they put the baby on the side and they weigh them, and obviously...
So he always got, like, really involved with that.
Yes, absolutely. Right, that's their time to shine. And I, you're obviously laid there and I'm like looking over fondly at what's going on. He said he remembers walking back round and actually...
The wrong way
and having a real glimpse of me. And he was like, wow, it's brutal what you go through, you know? I'm like, I know.
Because we also, just for our listeners, like, in case you're thinking, oh, it all sounds really gory, I hope we haven't put anyone off.
No.
When it's happening to you, because you're lying flat and you've got a bump, even when the baby's been born, your tummy's still like rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, because you're completely flat, you can't look up and see
what they're
doing.
You literally can't see. You have a screen that's sort of just lower than your bust.
But even if they lower the screen to watch, so you watch the baby be born, I couldn't see any of where...
Well, it's all lower than that.
Yeah, I could just see my obstetrician's hands and the baby's head, but as he lifted the rest of her out of me, but I couldn't see any lower than that. So I couldn't see...
That's right.
The incision, I couldn't see any...
Oh, never. I've never
blood
seen
and guts,
it. I wouldn't
like,
know.
Nothing.
No, I wouldn't know. And I kind of think... You just imagine, don't you?
But I don't need to.
No. We're good.
Yeah.
Let's touch a little bit on after cesarean. And something that I know that you've spoken about before is pelvic floor. Because we often think that we need to worry about our pelvic floor if we have had a vaginal birth and not...
You still need to think
from
about it.
..a C-section, right? So that's something that I think people don't talk about enough, because I didn't know that, did you?
No, not really. I mean, I saw a pelvic doctor, like a women's physio,
right?
After both girls.
Okay, that's smart.
Because a friend had said to do it. Because actually, in the UK, the checkup you get from your GP or your obstetrician after the birth is they don't look. I mean, for me, I don't know about you. They didn't look at me. They didn't like examine me.
Yeah.
They don't check your pelvic floor. They just literally like, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. How's the scar?
It's
healing?
Quite surface level,
it's quite
isn't
surface
it?
Level. Yeah. And she like looked at my scar and stuff, but she did like an internal exam. You know, gloves on.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never done that. I had my checkup afterwards, and they were quite hands on in the hospital, and then I had, I think, a checkup after a month, and you know, a couple midwife appointments to see how I was, but nothing. So,
yeah. So she checked, and I had I had pelvic pain with both pregnancies.
Okay.
But only with Aurelia did it continue after I'd given birth.
Ah.
And she was like, "Yeah, you've got some kind of tension," and she kind of did like a little internal, not like massage, but kind of like, yeah, I don't know. She could just feel what was off, and she kind of would have a feel and then get me to like cough and do.
Okay.
Like, you know, sit up and do a couple of different, like not ab exercises, but things so she could tell what was going on. And she kind of released the pressure and then gave me some like homework essentially.
Okay, amazing.
I really recommend it. It's not on the NHS here, so you do have to pay for it privately. Mm-hmm. But if it's possible for you to do it, I really recommend whatever type of birth you have.
Mm-hmm.
And even not even just for people who are giving birth, even if you are not having kids, as we age.
We should be in touch with that. You're
as
so
we
right.
age, like it takes, like gravity takes a toll.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just our faces we need to think about.
No, it's everything. Gosh, we're high maintenance, aren't we? We're high maintenance as we get older.
But it's all like health, and it's all part of just like looking after ourselves.
Listen, I am. If it's health and wellness involved, I will dive in head first.
Me too.
You can tell me anything's a goer. If it's going to slow back the hands of time, I'm there. You mentioned earlier a little bit about feeling down postpartum and not feeling like you. There is that real shock when, and it's weird, I think it's something that you can only learn when you've been in that situation, because the second and third time I kind of handled it so differently. But I remember, I don't know if it was the pressure of being in a girl group and worrying about when I had to be back and, you know, not wanting to take too long off, but knowing that I didn't look the same as I did before.
Yeah.
And I remember being in bed, probably a night or two home from the hospital, and not having a bump anymore. And I remember laying on my side, because obviously you can't lay on your front first of all, right? Laying on my side to go to sleep. And I remember literally looking down, and I wasn't comfortable. So I moved to the other side, and I just remember my tummy moving, like, after me.
Yeah.
And obviously you're not pregnant, but you've still got a tummy, and it doesn't look like you, and the skin's all very different.
Skin's quite stretched.
And I remember actually, and I know obviously, I don't know, does it come from a place of vanity? I'm not sure, but I just remember really not feeling like me, and like, oh, like I thought I was just going to go back to normal. Yeah, and that's exactly, hit the nail on the head, exactly what I felt like, and thinking, am I ever going to feel like me again? And it wasn't so much about working out to get back to visually how I looked, but just to more feel like me. And I remember actually going back, you know, months after, when I got back to my weight of where I was pre-babies, I remember thinking, it's mad because my body's changed.
Yeah.
Even like, though my weight's the same.
I'm my pre-weight, but my body is so different.
Yeah. If you was to put a side-by-side picture of my body previously being the same weight to now, it's different. And I think
the composition changes for sure.
Yeah, your hips, the way you're aligned, just that you know you've done something quite superhuman, and you've made a baby.
You've made three babies.
Yeah, you've made three babies. Oh, I know. I'm taking its toll on me last night with all the no sleep. But yeah, I kind of really, first of all, finding it quite a hard idea to get my head around.
Yeah, you do,
this was
you
my new body now. Well, this is me now.
It takes a while to find that appreciation.
Yes.
I remember feeling kind of disgusted by my body. And then on top of that, feeling so guilty for having those thoughts.
Yeah, because you know how lucky you are and so blessed that you've been able to make a baby.
But I think, like, let's normalize that too. Uh-huh. Like, it's okay. You don't have to love yourself instantly. Yes, you just made a baby, but it's okay to still find it a shock and still be like...
And know that everything's relative. To you and your world, this is actually... You know that you're blessed and you know that you're lucky, but actually I'm really finding this hard because this is not me.
And then your boobs are massive.
Huge.
And I've always had like quite small boobs. Mm-hmm. And when I got pregnant, they got bigger, but they was, you know, they were still quite small. And then suddenly when I was breastfeeding, they were enormous.
It's the nipple for me. I was like, what is this burger and why is it on my chest? I just remember being
they do
like,
get so big. It's like when one of your best friends is there and you're breastfeeding and you see their face and they can't hide the expression of shock when they see
they're like boobs.
And they've seen your boobs so many times they're like, what the hell is that?
I know. It is honestly, you're so right. That first moment where you're like, is this normal? And I remember getting, did you get, what do they call it?
The line.
The linear.
Yeah, on the tummy.
I think it's called. Up to your tummy. And I remember in there.
It takes a while to go. Oh, I was like forever. Scrubbing it. Yeah, exfoliating
it doesn't go. It takes, literally, mine's probably just gone now. The line up and where I'm obviously dark, mine was really, really quite dark. And I remember being like, what is this line? What's the use?
Did you look it up?
And yeah. I wonder if it's the same thing. So they said that it will help if you put the baby on your tummy, find the way to the massive burger nipples. I'm like, she didn't need a line. Like, you can see these from Mars. Like, she will find these nips.
But when you hear that, you are like, isn't the body amazing?
It's amazing.
Somebody told me, well, actually, when I was pregnant and I had this real fear of losing the baby, like I had an irrational fear I would lose the baby and had no reason. They were like, you'll have a healthy pregnancy. But I just was like,
yeah, of course.
And someone said to me, your baby is like a parasite. It wants to live. Mm. And even if you died during birth, it would find a way to your boob to feed.
Wow.
With that line.
That is
and they were
crazy.
Like, that is their survival instinct. That your baby, like, you know, 30 seconds old will find a way to, like,
it's
smell
so
your milk and get
special.
Itself to your breast. Even if you, like, died in the process of giving birth. Like, this is obviously not, like...
No. But that's how amazing.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then you fell
in love with the line, right? I'm like, this is, look at me, this is amazing.
It's like when you think...
It's a roadmap, you know?
It is a roadmap.
But I actually, last series, I spoke to Paloma Faith and I was telling her, like, I'm like, this is how special it is. And she was like... Do you know what? It's bullshit. I've tried it. I put her on the line and she couldn't find her way to no boobs. She still wouldn't feed. I was like, Paloma, you've literally ruined it for me. It really made me laugh. I was like really coming with like how like empowering it is. And she was like, yeah, but have you tried it? It doesn't work. She didn't know where she was going.
They are just this tiny, like basically blind little snuffling thing at that point.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to chat to you about, going back to like the feeling kind of quite down after having a baby. So when I had Sienna, when I had Aurelia, I had such different experiences. And I wanted to ask you also, because you've had three babies, have you found it different each time? I remember that you reached out to me and said something about placenta pills because you had tried them. So I didn't do it the first time. And I thought, right, second time round, What can I do to like increase my chances of healing, you know, recovery?
And you've learnt so much now.
Right. And I thought, okay, they can't prove it scientifically, but so many people are saying positive things. I thought, I've got nothing to lose, so why not try it? And I think a lot of people were saying it can help with the baby blues, it can help to balance your hormones. I thought, if nothing else, if I'm less weepy, then that would be a bonus.
Yeah.
So I tried it. The placenta they send you like a box.
That's right.
And with like a special like ice pack, and you put it in your freezer, and then the day you go in for the birth, you bring the special bag where you like label it all up, and you give it to the doctors and nurses and midwives, whatever, and they deal with
it. They arrange it, yeah.
They arrange it for you, and the placenta goes off straight after the birth and is made into capsules. They like air dry it, freeze dry it or something. Mm-hmm. And I did the capsules. I think I did like the whole range.
I did it all.
The gummies.
Give it to me. Yeah.
And I felt great.
It's crazy.
I think, obviously, the second baby, I think it was, like, less of a shock. I think that, you know, there's other reasons as well, because I mentally knew what was going to happen. My body had been through it once before.
Yeah, and you trust yourself. You trust the process as well, I think, a little more.
I didn't find it emotionally as hard. I didn't find it physically as hard.
Well, I was the same. I didn't do it the first time, and that's why I messaged you, because I... Honestly,
and I'm so glad you did. I'm so
because
glad
I was really curious. I'd seen loads of stuff about it, but it was still quite a out there notion. Like I remember I posted it on my Instagram, and I was in the hospital, and I posted a picture of I was just thanking her because I was like, "Thanks for sending them." I'm like so excited to try this, and I was still like in this baby bubble in the hospital, and I wasn't at my phone. I'd posted it because she was Danielle, who owns Placenta Plus. Was like the nicest human. She really beforehand explained exactly how it would work, how, you know, you might feel, and everything she felt the first time was how I felt that I felt, same as what you're saying with Alaya. So she was really, so I kind of did that because I wanted to say thank you to her. I didn't think anything of it. I hadn't checked my phone for another few hours or whatever. And then I remember one of the midwives coming in to me and was like, "I've just heard you on the radio." And I was like, "What?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, they're talking about apparently that you've like framed your umbilical cord and you're taking placenta." I didn't even know.
Your placenta.
And it was like a big thing because it was really out there. And I remember thinking, "Oh, I didn't know this was such a sort of taboo or whatever subject."
I don't know why it is. I think that these options are out there, and it, you know, there's all this information out there, and like how great.
And why not give it a go? And it's natural, right? And genuinely, I felt so good after Valley. And I don't know why. Maybe it might be a little bit of placebo. I don't know. I remember my doctor sort of not being sold on the idea. I remember telling him that's what I was doing.
Yeah, same.
And he was like,
my male obstetrician was like, "Well, my midwife."
You can do it, but I'm not really sure. It was that sort of approach. Same. But I did, and I have to say, my mum couldn't believe the difference.
I noticed the
me.
Days, like if I forgot to take them one day, like I noticed.
Yeah. So it's crazy. And I don't know, like you said, it's not officially proven, but there's so much research done on it. I kind of, for me, I'm a fan.
I don't recommend, you know, keeping the placenta, taking it home, chopping it into chunks and making it into
a smoothie. Don't make a stew. That's not for me so much.
That's not for me. Some people do. I know that some people like put a bit in the smoothie or something. I think that...
But capsule fine.
Capsule's fine. I found the gummies were a bit recurry on me. Like I would do a couple of burps, which were a bit like meaty.
No one wants a placenta burp. Okay, now two questions that I ask all of my guests. Now, I love this bit because I feel like I always really take from this. I want to know what the biggest thing you've learnt is since becoming a parent.
Okay.
And also what you're still trying to figure out.
Okay, so the biggest thing I've learnt, and I'm always saying this, but I really believe it, is to trust your gut instinct.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it is called your second brain for a reason.
Yes.
And that going with that feeling and having the confidence to trust your own instinct is so important, because there is no right or wrong. There's so many different ways to parent, from like every decision, even from when you're pregnant, there's just so many different ways to do things and different choices that you have to make. So you have to figure out what feels right for you. Yeah. As a parent, as a family.
And no two babies are the same.
No.
So what would work for you to settle Sienna might not work for me and Blake, right?
And there's all these different books. And so many people are going to try and give you loads of different advice.
Which is so overwhelming.
Which is really overwhelming. It's great if it works for you, but if it doesn't, and then you're like, okay, but they said this would work and it's not working. And this person says that's wrong. It's so confusing.
You just find yourself trying everything, don't you?
Yeah.
What are you still figuring out? I mean, everything, but
everything. Can someone just write one manual that works for everyone?
Manual would be great.
Well, I was experiencing this morning, since having a second child, and you've got three, so you're honestly super mum.
No, I'm not.
Is when they both want you at the same time. And I actually cried this morning. It was really hard because the baby's teething. She's had a cold. She's been puking on and off for the last week.
Oh.
My toddler has also got a cold and had a temperature, and they're both just from 5 a.m. like screaming for different things. And I ended up at one point on the kitchen floor. I've got my husband's trying to get ready for work. So he's like gone upstairs and I've got one on either side of me, and they both want me and they both don't want the other one to be there on top of me.
And you're coming out here to meet me. So you've also got to go.
I'm trying to get myself to the gym so I can be in a good headspace, you know, what that's something I need for me.
Yeah.
And they both just wanted me. And I just had to sit there with both of them and try and cuddle both of them at the same time. But then the baby's pulling the toddler's hair and the toddler's shoving the baby.
It's,
I was like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I want you to both have me, but there's only one of me right now. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. No matter what you do,
one of them's going to cry.
Exactly that. I think it's really hard, and it's kind of hard to, even as they get older, to kind of, one might have a big week at school with a spelling test and exam, and you really want to be all sort of scooping them up and be around them because they might be worried about something. But the other one's sick that week, or the other one is teething and just crying on repeat.
There's always something.
There's always something. I'm learning that as the stages sort of, as they get older, that actually there's always something.
We started potty training the toddler last week, and then the baby got sick at the same time and my dryer broke. A lot of things needed to be washed like frequently, so I was
there's always a test. There's always a test. And I think that is the thing, isn't it, when you think you've just nailed it.
Never get smug.
There's another curveball. You're like, oh, do you know what?
Don't get comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Don't, because you think you've just now. That seems all right. They're actually sleeping quite well at the minute.
No,
bang.
You just wait.
Yeah.
I feel like if I ever have a thought where I'm like, God, it'd be so difficult if this. Don't think it, because it will happen. Yeah. If you go, sure, I'm really lucky that's never happened to me.
Bang.
Just don't have get it straight out of your head, because a week later it happens and you're like, shouldn't have.
This has come back to burn you. That thought, that was way too smug. Get a grip, Rochelle. Okay, so this part of the show is called My Little Tips.
Okay.
And I think as we've based this episode around cesareans and the real truth of C-sections. We don't want to scaremonger, by the way. It's not about that. No. Some parts are gory, but it's just about being honest.
Things that you don't necessarily know.
Things I wish I was armed with. And also, one of the things I wish I knew was actually how to pack your hospital bag for a cesarean. So I think maybe that would be quite a good one for you to bring to My Little Tips for this episode. What did you put? I mean, you've kind of...
I did my research and I asked friends.
Okay.
And a few friends had planned C-sections, so they kind of were like, you don't need this and you do need that. And I found it really helpful. And I'd post a little video. So I did like two lists, like one for me and one for the baby.
Right.
And yeah, so starting off with you, because it's very important not to just focus on the baby.
Yeah.
So you're going to be in a hospital gown because you're having surgery. So any ideas of being in some lovely, beautiful nightwear or while you're giving birth,
get rid of that.
That can come later, but it's not now. Yeah, you're going to be going in, you know. I actually had my hair done.
I did too. Okay. I'm not gonna lie.
It made me feel nice.
Once I knew, I'm like, right, this is what I'm gonna do, then I'll have a blow dry.
I had a blow dry. It might sound ridiculous, but it's just a little thing that made me feel like I was going in.
Yeah.
This quite, you know, scary experience. And I just felt like,
let's make
nice.
It a little bit exciting.
And you know you're going to want to have some pictures. And
yeah.
I didn't really have much makeup on, but I remember just having a blow dry. Yeah. That made me feel nice. In my bag, I just had kind of comfy things to wear once I could change out of my gown. Mm-hmm. I got like some kind of feeding nighties. I gave birth in May, so it was summer, the first one, when you can just like clip down the top.
Oh, they're, yeah, that's good.
But they were like strappy because someone had said they keep the rooms quite warm for the babies. Mm-hmm. So that they said you might feel quite hot.
You feel hot because of the hormones.
And you feel hot because of the hormones when the milk's coming in. Mm-hmm. So that was quite a good tip. Like, you're not going to want like loads of layers or anything like that's going to cover you up.
And nighty I found good to pack because you're not trying to put trousers. Because the first time I'd packed all these amazing, really soft pyjamas that I thought would be nice to chill in. But that's better when you get home.
They're better for when you get
home. Yeah, when you just need to worry about sort of lifting up the bottom of the nighty to go to the toilet and stuff.
And also you're better, bleeding and stuff at the beginning. So if you've just got like some, I wore like the kind of, I packed the nappy pants.
Yes.
You've got a pair of them on. So I went for like short, I think they were from like Seraphine.
Yes, yeah.
A couple of them. And I got I think I had like two black ones. Just okay. I thought if I do leak and bleed, I'd rather smart. It be black.
Yeah.
But then I think I had like a grey one, and I had a couple of feeding bras, but I don't think I even wore them. I think I just kept because the nightie like clipped down.
Yeah.
What else did I have? Things like, I think I had nipple shields, mm-hmm. which I didn't know if I would need. And I found it really hard to get a good latch with actually both babies.
Yeah.
And on like that kind of second, third day where I was like raw and actually bleeding from the not having a good latch mm-hmm. and constantly trying to feed the baby, the pain was excruciating. So the nipple shields, these are things that were like essential.
I had these ones that I think you could just get on Amazon. They were like little silver cups.
The silverette ones.
Yes. I found them.
I didn't try them because I was at the point where I was finding the actual feeding so painful.
Right.
The only way I could actually handle the pain of the baby trying to feed was to use the shields.
Right. Okay, fine. I found these good for in the bra afterwards. Often. In between. Because I found that rubbing against the pads sore. Like it was all that, like it's almost
so sensitive.
Friction.
It's so, so sensitive.
So the cups sort of go over your nipple,
like a little,
and there's like a gap. It's almost like you're wearing nothing because it doesn't rest against anything. So I found those really good. They're a bit more of an investment, but they're quite a good baby shower gift if you know you're
that is
feed.
A really good baby shower gift.
Yeah.
Other things that just made me feel nice, I had like a kind of dry mist, you know, you put like your essential oils in it,
that's
vaporizer
nice.
Thing.
Yes. For the room.
Mm. That was lovely because really I kind of nice made idea. It like smell nice and just like soothing.
Yeah.
Another tip that a friend said, I think this is really nice for whatever birth you're planning to have, to pack like some presents for the midwives.
Ah, yes.
So I had I bought some little gift bags, and then I took in some like mini neon candles.
Cute.
And then the midwives that I had like people on shift, so different people had come in, but the ones that I felt really had helped me and that you gravitate to, when I left, I like left them all like a little card and... That's a nice thing to bring in with you that you maybe wouldn't think of.
Yes, because I kind of would always then scramble afterwards and be like, can I send some flowers to the hospital? Or you kind of want to do it when you're there. That's a really good thing to be ahead of, actually.
And then something else for you, just loads of snacks.
Yes.
Because often people think like, right, if you're in labour, you're going to need loads of snacks. But if you're having a C-section, you can't eat. Why would you need them? But afterwards, I just got so hungry.
Yeah, the feeding will do that.
So I had like energy balls that I pre-made that I brought in with me. My mother-in-law had made me some really delicious cookies that I had in a little tin.
Oh,
and like, that was really nice. That's a really nice gift for someone.
And like a nice little home comfort. Yeah, if you don't know what to do for somebody,
just get them
food
all their
is
favorite
always
snacks.
Good
it's just
yeah.
like nice and like I took in those like tea bags with me as well that were like the breastfeeding ones that help your milk
yes,
come in
yes
so those are a good ones to take in with you as well
That's a good bag and I think what you realize for
you don't need as much
as you think for the baby, because I remember that being my focus, like all of these baby grows and blankets, and really for the first while
they just wear a nappy and they're just on you.
Yeah,
and you're doing lots of skin to skin.
I did the whole it's gone from my
swaddling.
So you don't need as much as you think for the baby. The hospital do have quite a bit as well.
They have
the nappies and the bits and pieces. So yeah, I would focus on you at that point.
A notebook's quite a sweet one to if you want to write down any of those first memories and things that you want to remember.
Yeah. And also feeding times. You know, when you're trying to sort of build a little routine, like at this, we did half an hour on the boob at this time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's always quite helpful. Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like I could honestly stay here for hours.
Yeah, so I've loved it.
I'm like, to you about.
A few cup of teas down. We're good. Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll be back again next week with another wonderful guest. So make sure you follow the My Little Coco podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to get the latest episodes as soon as they are available. For more helpful products and inspiration on all things baby, visit the advice section on boots.com today. You'll also receive helpful advice and inspiration completely tailored to your stage of pregnancy or for the age of your child. And if you download the Boots app, you'll receive digital offers too. Thanks again to my sponsor Boots, and of course, as always, to you lovely lot for listening.